afternoon, and here we are looking back through the files of the Bunyip in the Gawler Cultural Heritage Research Centre, which is based in the basement of the Gawler Civic Centre. My name is Kay. I'm one of your readers, along with Jeanette. Hello, Jeanette.
Hi, Kay.
It's always a privilege here to be reading out the Bunyip and keeping strong tradition going of looking back, which has been going as long as I can remember. It's always a good little reflection on the history of Gawler and the history of the Bunyip. So, and we never know from week to week what the person at the Bunyip is going to pull out for us to share with listeners. Yes. So here we go, 150 years ago. And I like this headline, Singular Rise of Bread. Gosh. Yesterday we were witness to a rather extraordinary movement in the bread line. A young gentleman in a fit of quarrelling with a relative of the gentler sex indulged his spleen by banging down on the pavement what proved to be a loaf of bread, whereupon it bounced like a tennis ball and went into Mr. Worsted's shop window, threw a 30-shilling pane of glass, a rather long price for the two-pound loaf. Imagine a loaf of bread that hard, it would break a window.
That sounds like the kind of loaf of bread I would make.
I think I've made a few that would break windows.
We should explain to readers why we're sharing a microphone.
Yes, we've got a technical glitch today, so we are sharing a microphone. So that may affect the quality of this. Unfortunately, one of our mics just stopped working. So 100 years ago, the shopping rush. In other days, we were urged to shop early and save the disappointment and obviate the overwork of the Christmas rush. In these days, one is almost well advised to shop late. Fancy not being able to carve your own way to the counter at the end of November. Yet this is the state of things at times already. Harassed shop assistants are going their hardest, and troops and hordes of children are making their way into the city in order to view Santa Claus and have rides on giant camels and view the sights so dear to them in connection with the unforgettable joys of the Christmas season.
Got another long sentence.
Yes.
I need to take a breath.
Yes.
50 years ago, old school burnt out. Oh, I didn't know this. The old Virginia Primary School was razed to the ground in a fire, which broke out about 4:30 p.m. on Sunday. There was nothing police or local EFS units could do to save the prefabricated building of 4 classrooms, which took about 15 minutes to completely burn out. That's they were only made of cheap timber.
Yes.
Police suspect the fire was deliberately lit, and with the Adelaide-based forensic squad are conducting inquiries. The old school was closed down 2 years ago. Oh, okay, so it was vacated. And, of course, EFS is the Emergency Fire Services, as it was called, now the CFS.
CFS, right, yeah.
I remember my dad being a member of the EFS when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
And then somewhere along the way it changed to CFS, so... Wow, old Virginia Primary. I don't even know where it was.
Mm. I don't remember there being a spate of school burnings in Victoria at that when I was probably around that age, and it seemed to be just a thing.
Yeah, well, people still do it, and you think, why? Yeah. Why on earth? Well, why on earth do people set bushfires?
Yes, yeah. So, 25 years ago, upgrading of campus. A joint state government and University of Adelaide initiative costing $2.9 million will give Roseworthy campus a new lease of life in serving the rural sector. Under the plan, Roseworthy is to become an industry-focused education, research and development centre for animal production, dry land agriculture and environmental management. Okay, I thought we had a story about that recently, didn't we? About Roseworthy?
Yeah, Roseworthy just... Up until about the 70s, it was sort of fairly stable agricultural college, and then it started to get entrepreneurial and have all sorts of different courses, and then it got swept in under Adelaide University, and then they took the wine, the oenology, away from Roseworthy, which was its crowning jewel. It was world-renowned, that oenology, the wine course. And the grape growing course out there and the winemaking course. And they took it down to Adelaide and to Waite Institute. And the gossip was that there were lecturers that didn't like travelling out to Roseworthy because they lived in the eastern suburbs. And it's like, well, Yes and no, but I don't hear ever about whether it's still, you know, I've got a high level of respect throughout the world with the wine industry. So yeah,
when we were in Sweden, we used to buy a wine that was like a South Australian wine, and one day we looked it up and found out that the winemaker, it was Hungarian, I think, was from South Australia.
Australia. We were amazed when we were down in, and this is more a marketing exercise, but we were down in far southwest Ireland. Mm. We stayed at a little hotel one night, little B&B hotel, and they were serving Jacob's Creek wine, and they had Jacob's Creek aprons, and Jacob's Creek was fairly widespread, and I think
it is pretty widespread.
Yeah, kudos to the marketing team. But
well, it's funny because when I was in England in the 80s, Australian wines would be laughed at. If you know what, Australia makes wine, and by the time we went back, even say in the 80s, even 8 years later, Australian wine was everywhere.
Yeah.
It was really sudden and quick how it took.
And that's why I think the French sort of took umbrage that we had things like champagne, we had like Great Western in Victoria. Did beautiful champagne, which was Great Western champagne, but of course now it's Great Western sparkling white.
But of course, where we really run out was at the bottom end of the market, the lower end.
Yeah.
Because cheap French wines were awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, their expensive wines might be good, but their cheap wines weren't. And Australia came in and filled a niche that hadn't been filled.
Yeah.
Suddenly, affordable table wine became a thing that everyone could afford and have good wine.
Yeah.
So that's why I think Australian wines became so popular in the UK.
But we also produce some, like Max Schubert, he produced some brilliant reds. Mm. His red wines were apparently renowned because they weren't irrigated.
Right.
So he grew them in particular soil and a particular aspect so that they had these particular qualities about them, and that's why his red wines were so special.
Mm.
And, of course, he was just a great winemaker himself. So,
yeah.
Anyway, so much of the wine industry.
Yeah.
10 years ago, 20 years of Riverbank display. This year marks the 20th anniversary of Gawler's iconic Christmas Riverbank display. Erected on Saturday, the display features Santa and his kangaroos, favourite Australian animals, a giant bonbon, Christmas tree and an Aussie nativity scene. It will be lit up for young and old to enjoy throughout the festive season. Do they still do that?
I think in Apex Park?
It used to be along in Apex Park.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're still doing it. I haven't seen it this year, but I think last year, so I'm sure it's there.
Oh, I must make an effort to come over and see it. I'd always say to myself, I'm going to go down and have a look at the lights or the display at the old brewery display. And I haven't done that for years, but that's always a spectacular thing.
We used to love doing the light drive, and I'm always noting, oh, that's a good street for lights. But apparently there's a few houses along our street now doing lights.
Oh,
which
really?
Is nice.
Yeah. We had a street in Two Wells Canal Court, and for several years, nearly everyone in that street did brilliant decorations, and then one year someone got really huffy because there was cars driving past or people walking past, you know, for all of two weeks or 3 weeks of the year. So that one stopped, and then someone moved out and someone moved in, and now there might be two or three houses that do just a few little lights, and it's just like, oh, bar humbug's got to it again.
When I had driving lessons, because I learnt to drive in Gawler, my driving instructor pointed out, this street, remember this one, this is a good one for Christmas lights. So that year I was able to take the boys a little bit. I really learnt my way around Gawler by doing driving lessons.
Oh, did you?
I didn't know how to find Conlea Park up until then.
Oh, right.
And there's a whole lot of things I learnt about Gawler from driving lessons.
I always learn about places, and you would have done the same by walking around.
Mm.
But if you had little kids, that would have been pretty hard to do.
Well, I knew the walk between where I lived in Gawler. We walked a lot when they were little, but yeah, you only walk the routes you have to.
Yeah, and then once you start, trying to do that outreach is a bit harder.
Yeah.
So, well, that's it for this week. That was short, sharp and shiny, wasn't it?
Yes.
We'll be back next week as usual with another exciting edition of Looking Back.
We will.
Until then, see you later, Jeanette.
Until then, Kay. For all life's